Faith the means, not the end. Faith is not the ground of our salvation, but it is the great blessing, the eye that sees, the ear that hears, the feet that run, the hand that grasps. It is the means, not the end. If Christ gave his life to save sinners, why shall I not take that blessing? My faith grasps it, and thus my faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Thus resting and believing, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and feeling distinct. Faith and feeling are as distinct as the East is from the West. Faith is not dependent on feeling. We must earnestly cry to God in faith, feeling or no feeling, and then live our prayers. Our assurance and evidence is God's word, and after we have asked, we must believe without doubting. I praise Thee, O God, I praise Thee. Thou hast not failed me in the performance of Thy word. Thou hast revealed Thyself unto me, and I am Thine to do Thy will. Simplicity and power of faith. Faith is simple in its operation and powerful in its results. Many professed Christians, who have a knowledge of the sacred word, and believe its truth, fail in the childlike trust that is essential to the religion of Jesus. They do not reach out with that peculiar touch that brings the virtue of healing to the soul. A divine remedy for sin, the atonement of Christ is not a mere skillful way to have our sins pardoned. It is a divine remedy for the cure of transgression and the restoration of spiritual health. It is the heaven-ordained means by which the righteousness of Christ may be not only upon us but in our hearts and characters. Strength in cooperating with God. Quoted, the Apostle contrasts the disobedience of Adam and the full, entire obedience of Christ. Think of what Christ's obedience means to us. It means that in His strength we too may obey. Christ was a human being. He served His heavenly Father with all the strength of His human nature. He has a twofold nature, at once human and divine. He is both God and man. Christ came to this world to show us what God can do and what we can do in cooperation with God. In human flesh He went into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. He knows what it is to hunger and thirst. He knows the weakness and the infirmities of the flesh. He was tempted in all points like as we are tempted. Our ransom has been paid by our Savior. No one need be enslaved by Satan. Christ stands before us as our divine example, our all-powerful helper. We have been bought with a price that it is impossible to compute. Who can measure the goodness and mercy of redeeming love? Christ a free moral agent, the second Adam was a free moral agent, held responsible for his conduct. Surrounded by intensely subtle and misleading influences, he was much less favorably situated than was the first Adam to lead a sinless life. Yet in the midst of sinners he resisted every temptation to sin, and maintained his innocency. He was ever sinless, the Southern Watchman, September 29, 1903. Reprinted from Man on Vantage Ground with God, as related to the first Adam, men receive from him nothing but guilt and the sentence of death. But Christ steps in and passes over the ground where Adam fell, enduring every test in man's behalf. He redeems Adam's disgraceful failure and fall by coming forth from the trial untarnished. This places man on vantage ground with God. It places him where, through accepting Christ as his Savior, he becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Thus he becomes connected with God in Christ.